everyone, and welcome to the Screen Strong Families podcast, bringing you the best solutions for parents who are serious about eliminating screen problems in their homes. This is Melanie Hempe, and I am so glad you are joining us today, especially. If you are one of our regular listeners, welcome back. And if you are a new friend, we're so glad you found us. You will want to thank the person that shared this podcast with you, especially after today, because we're going to share something with you that is just, you're just not going to believe. It's just the greatest thing. Anyway, you're no longer alone on this journey of navigating screens in your home, and you have found your people. We are so thrilled to death over here at Screen Strong to have the print version of our Kids Brains and Screens for Students course out. It's out. So I'm sure if you've been listening to the podcast, you know that it's been out. But if you haven't gotten it, please go to Amazon and order it if you're just ordering a single copy. If you want to get a whole bunch of books for your school, call your school, talk to them about getting the curriculum book order from us. This is a full curriculum, and we're going to talk about that in a few minutes. We have a wonderful guest, a perfect person to help us discuss this today, and her name is Becky Grant. Becky, welcome to our show today.
Hi, Melanie. Thank you so much for having me on. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, Becky is, for those of you who don't know Becky, she is a Screen Strong mom and has been for quite a while, helping us kind of behind the scenes with some stuff. Becky, you have helped us so much with this book, and we are so thankful. But most of all, I am just so thrilled to have you on because you have young kids. We're going to talk about that in just a second. And you know how important this is and how hard it can be too. But before we go into your background, just for a minute, I just want to talk about, for everybody who's kind of new and, you know, you're not too sure about what Screen Strong is, and you'll know a lot more here in just a few minutes as we talk it through. But I know that there's so many people listening, Becky, there's so many people listening right now that want so badly to fix a screen problem in their home. And they're so frustrated because I know I was for so many years. And at first I didn't even know what I didn't know. So I really wasn't frustrated. But after I raised, you know, our oldest who got very addicted to video games, then all of a sudden, you know, I knew what I didn't know. And then I was trying to figure out, how do I explain this stuff to my younger kids? Because I mean, I went to nursing school, I went to all the conferences, I figured it all out. But I mean, my kids were in third grade. How am I going to explain this to them? You know, as parents, we know the truth about screen overuse, but it's so hard to explain to our kids, like, for example, what a dopamine craving is, or, you know, how screens can cause you to be socially stunted, you know, because they just want to have friends all the time, or even how screens can hurt your emotional and mental health. And so we have your back. This course is not the same old thing that you'll see. It's not another course about parental controls and all the promises about how you can avoid all the pain. It's not another parenting book offering these shallow kind of custom to your comfort zone tips, if you know what I mean. We're just going to give you the facts, and we're going to do it in a way that you can share this with your child. In fact, this book is designed really for 10 years old and up, but Becky's going to talk with me a minute about the different ages. But just so we're all clear, we've had the KBS on a digital format for a while, and what we're talking about today is the full 300-page full-color paper book format. Remember those books? Books have paper. and boy, we love it. And this is a game changer. It's totally changing the way kids are ingesting this education. So Becky, tell us a little bit about yourself, just a bit, and your kids, and let's dive in and just help share with our audience how you're getting this to work in your house.
Okay, great. Yes, I have two sons. They're ages 10 and 13 right now, and we've been Screen Strong for nearly 3 years. I can't believe it's been 3 years. I was about to say two, and then yes. I actually figured it out this morning and said, actually, it's almost been 3 years.
Oh my goodness. Wow.
That's great. I found Screen Strong during the pandemic when my sons were melting down because of too much screen use between attending school online all day and then still having their own fun screen time after school. Right. It was too much. And I guess.
How old were your kids 3 years ago?
3 years ago, my youngest was 6 in first grade and my oldest was 10 in fourth grade. And so at the time, my youngest had a really low frustration tolerance. He was throwing big tantrums whenever anything didn't go his way with the slightest disappointment. And he couldn't play on his own at all. He needed me or his brother to entertain him. And then my oldest, who up until that point when we locked down and went online, he'd been really social and always kind and helpful with his little brother. Mm-hmm. And he just started losing patience with him. And he got that year fixated on all things Minecraft, to the point where he didn't want to play outside. And during lessons, he was going on and searching for Minecraft YouTubers. And I found that out. And one day we were invited to a barbecue as things were opening up with friends we hadn't seen in a while. And he had a big meltdown because it meant he'd miss his hour of iPad time he normally had in the afternoon. And that was what really set the alarm bells ringing in my head. You can go back and hear my full Screen Strong story. I was in an early episode, so I'd have to look up the number.
We'll put the number in the show notes. That is a really good, Becky has a fabulous story. So definitely go back and listen to her previous podcast about that. But as you tell your story, you know, and every time I talk with someone, I just get like new kind of revelations all the time. And what I'm realizing, even as you just kind of retold that a little bit, when we are not ready for this information as parents, I think it just goes over our head. Because if you had gone to a Screen Strong thing, you know, workshop or read about us before, it might have just glossed right over your head, right? I mean, you might have just glossed right over it, because I think that when something happens, like you had your defining moment that day, right? When you realized, wait a minute,
something's off. In a way, I feel lucky that we were online so much, because I guess I saw what the future would possibly be when they were older, if they had smartphones. And, you know, at the time before we locked down, they weren't on all that much. But when school was there and that screen time, I just kind of saw the writing on the wall and said, actually, this is not good. And my son at one point told me, I can't wait to go to college, because then I won't have screen time anymore. You won't be there to, you know, enforce the rules. And then when I heard your podcast about your son, I just thought, oh my gosh, he's not going to make it through college if we carry on this way. So I knew.
Yeah, so, he was already planning ahead for the days.
He was going to just be online all day if I wasn't there to tell him, you know, you need to get off now.
So. Well, so fast forward, you've been sort of around for the evolution of the Kids Brains and Screens, and you've actually helped us a good bit with editing and helping us with the content. So I want you to fast forward from where you were then to where you are now, and just talk to parents a minute about what to do with this Screen Strong message, you know, when your kids are not open to it.
Right. Yes, that's what I wanted to talk about today. Looking back now, removing video games and becoming a Screen Strong family was the best parenting decision I've made. Right now, both of my kids are thriving. They have many interests. They're involved in lots of activities, and they're developing skills and interests I never thought they would have. And we have fun together as a family. And I still like to be around my 13-year-old, and we generally have a great relationship.
That's so funny. You still like to be around your 13-year-old.
Yeah, so far, so good. We'll see.
No, that's good. I mean, teenagers, they're so fun. But if you are not having fun right now with your kids, and it doesn't have to be like fun all the time, but if you're not truly enjoying your kids, even when they're 13 and 14 and 15 and 16, then that's a big red flag. And that's a warning sign. It's not normal for us to be arguing with our kids all the time about anything, much less something like screen time. I mean, I used to say this to my oldest all the time. It's just a video game. What in the world? You know, but it's so not worth it. But I love that you're doing all the fun things with them. And I think you're just the perfect person to talk to us about how do you do it? Like, how are you educating them? I know, obviously, you've been involved with the course. So, but let's talk about just some of the benefits, I think, for you right now in this stage of.
Yeah, no, the new course is fantastic. And my sons have gone through it and they're making connections to the learning almost daily. You start seeing all these connections they're making. But I wanted to talk about how do you get your kids to do the course if they're resistant to the screen strong message or get highly sensitive whenever the topic of screens come up? Mm-hmm. Because that's really normal at this age. And sometimes I see in the Facebook groups, people are frustrated saying, you know, gee, when are they going to understand or realize? And I want to let you know that to reassure you that it's okay. They might not at this age understand, gee, mom, thank you for taking away my video games. You know, they may not say that to you right now because they have friends talking about them at school. They may not appreciate it until much later, but you have to kind of parent for the long haul.
That's right.
And even though I think being screen strong is the best parenting decision I've made, my sons would probably disagree if you asked them.
Yeah.
Because they're still sometimes in the resistant and maybe highly sensitive camp.
Yeah. But and that's so normal. And I want to just say, even though you've been a screen strong family for 3 years, you know, it's kind of like your car. You have to put gas in it like every now and then. Otherwise, it's going to die and you're not going to be able to drive it. So as screen strong parents, we still have to get gas in our car. Like you can't just say, oh, I made this decision and now it's all easy and nothing ever changes. Things change every day. So you have to get that support behind you. And I love that you're like in it for the long game because your kids are not, right? They can't, their brains are so different the way their brains are developing. They can't think ahead. In our house, we call it play the tape forward. Mom and dad do that really well. But when you're even, you know, 13, 14, 15, even 16, even 18, it's kind of hard to think ahead. And so we have to be that coach for them. And we have to, and you've been so good, Becky, at not letting them get you on their roller coaster, right?
That advice you give is great.
Yeah.
I mean, if once in a while we get these outbursts, for the most part, our days go along fine. They never ask about it anymore, but occasionally things come up and I have an angry outburst. So they might tell me I'm a mean mom or I've ruined their lives. Or they can't wait to move out. And believe me, I've heard them all. but I have to kind of look at what's behind these comments. So first, I kind of look to see if there's an event or situation at school or some kind of screen exposure that's kind of prompted the outburst.
Yeah.
So for example, last month, my youngest was invited to a birthday party, 10-year-old birthday party. He's in fourth grade. And he's in a combo class. So the fourth graders, there aren't very many. And they were all going to this birthday party. And the parents had rented a video game truck. Mm-hmm. And they were going to have 2 hours of video games inside this truck with giant screens. And of course, they're talking about it at school. And everyone's really excited. And I kind of went back and forth about, do I let him go or not?
Yeah.
But I kind of thought, well, you know, if he doesn't go, he might blow this whole thing way out of proportion in his head and feel like, you know, it was this great experience. So I thought, I'm going to let him go, but I know I'm going to be dealing with, you know, some outbursts afterward.
Yeah.
So he went and he, you know, enjoyed the video game truck. And then the parents were kind of hoping it was Super Bowl weekend. All the kids would stay after and, you know, kind of have a fun Super Bowl party. Well, of course, afterward, all the kids, all they wanted to do was go on the Switch at their house, even after the video game truck left.
Yep.
Because they're going to get a lot more dopamine from the video games than they are from watching the Super Bowl. And
That's
so we talked a little bit about it when I picked him up. And after that, you know, each night on my pillow, I found an index card that said, "Why can't I have my Switch back? What if I just play 30 minutes a day? I know I shouldn't play too much." And it went on for about a week. And,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I've been sticking to my guns for so long. He knew it probably wasn't going to work. And after that week, he was fine. He bounced back. It blew over. And, you know, he's no longer trying to give me a guilt trip.
Yeah.
But just to tell parents, these things come in waves. And it might just be an event behind it or something like this that, you know,
I love that. Yeah, I love that story because that's just real life. I mean, that's exactly what happens. And just that these things are going to come up. We are never going to be in a screen-free world, of course, and there's going to be all kinds of things like that. But what a perfect example to explain to our audience how even just that one day of the mega dose of the drug, you know, kind of set him out of balance. And the other kids, because you may say, well, the other kids are fine because they have it all the time. Well, you know, they're not fine because they have it all the time. So they don't want to watch the Super Bowl party. They don't want to go out in the backyard and play. All of their playtime, all their downtime is all centered around their game. So sure, when you give the drug to the drug addict, they're fine. And they look like they're fine, right? But what you saw was such a just great example of what happens when a child who is balanced can get out of balance so quickly. It can just happen so fast. And not only did he kind of get out of balance that day, which, you know, I think my kids have, you know, when they were little, they were that age. You know, I know they went to people's houses sometime and they played and whatever. Even when we went to the dentist, we finally quit going to this dentist office because whatever, they just had all these video games. And I'm like, this is like this is gross. Like every time we come here, you know, they have, you know, Call of Duty. I'm like, wait a minute. Like this is a pediatric dentist office. This isn't a good idea. But even just that little bit, what it does is it just puts that taste in their mouth again. It was like, oh, and what he did was exactly normal. It was totally age appropriate, of course, what he did. He's like, okay, I'm going to try again and I'm going to start begging again. And our kids are really good at begging for things. And,
And just to show the opposite point, about 2 weeks ago, he was at a Cub Scout meeting and they were going through online safety. It comes up every year in Cub Scouts. And the leader was, you know, asking, oh, do you ever do internet searches at home? And they were all sharing what they search about. And my son raises his hand and says, well, I search for cephalopods at school because he loves squids and octopi, cuttlefish. And so when he's at school, he's looking up all these facts about them. He tells me about them when he comes home from school. And one of the other moms looks at me and said, I wish my son would be searching for cephalopods. All he looks up is, you know, Minecraft YouTubers. And I was thinking in my head, well, you know, that's because he doesn't play video games. It's not normally on his mind unless he goes to a video game party. So he is still really excited about school and learning. So you have to keep that perspective in mind if they have these, you know, sudden regressions. You kind of look at your day-to-day life. So they're excited about school still. Both, even my 13-year-old generally likes school, upcoming events, activities, things with their friends. So you have to keep that in mind, you know, if your kids go through these kind of waves of wanting their screens back.
Right. Well, and you've done such a great job of just sticking to the plan and being a good coach and all the things, because if we let the culture and we let our kid who went to a video game truck birthday party, which I can't even start talking about what's wrong with that. But I mean, and I agree with you at the point where you want him to go, you want to be with his friends and whatever, but you did have some payback for it, right?
Mm-hmm, I did. And I was expecting it. You know, you never know what form it will take, but go ahead.
Well, no, I was just going to say that if your child, I mean, I love the fact that your kids have scouts and all the activities, and I know you're really busy with all that. And once I went through with one child who didn't do any of that, I embraced it so much for my other kids. I was so happy to be driving all those carpool hours of different activities and whatever, you know, I just had a whole very different perspective. But I remember one time my oldest son, the one who was addicted, told me, Mom, you know, and this was after we kind of went through the whole thing with him and we'd already started Screen Strong. And he said, Mom, you need to tell your audience that if your kids like the same exact ages that yours are right now, Becky, the, you know, fourth, fifth, sixth grade, all these young ages, he said, if video games are their number one favorite thing to do, they are in trouble. And that really hit me pretty hard. You know, it's not that like they can't like to play sometime at a friend's house at a birthday party or whatever, but if it becomes their number one activity that, you know, is just their number one thing they love to do, then you're headed for trouble. And I really believe that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that actually brings up another story. After the course, even though my sons don't want to admit it, they make all these connections to the course. And my older son actually in the car was telling me about a friend of his from elementary school. He's now in middle school, who plays Fortnite all the time. And he was concerned because his friend is now playing about 6 hours a night.
Oh.
And, you know, he knows all the brain building activities he's missing out on from the course. And he's worried about that. Oh. And he also really understood the lesson on dopamine and how tolerance develops when your brain adjusts to the high levels of dopamine. Yeah. My son gets it. And he knows soon, you know, the games are no longer fun, but you can't stop playing them because you need that high amount of dopamine because your brain is used to getting that. And right. So he came home and told me he's worried about his friend. So, And he noticed that his friend isn't doing any other activities now, too, which also has come up. That's what you're always warning us about in middle school. Don't let them drop their activities. And so oldest actually was making all these connections to those lessons in the course. And the one on dopamine is so powerful because, I mean, as an adult, I read Dr. Anna Lemke's book, Dopamine Nation, and it talks all about how that works and how it affects so many behaviors in life because, you know, we're wired to seek pleasure and avoid pain. And so that's why we reach for the other donut or keep watching the Netflix show and can't turn it off. We need to have some space between, you know, the good activity to let our dopamine levels balance out again. And there's some great illustrations in the book that show that. And even at that age, they can understand it. So,
and how wonderful at your son's age to be able to comprehend and really understand what dopamine is, what it's doing, what it means. And then for him to be able to just kind of see it kind of happening with his friends, not that he's going to judge his friends, but that he's going to be able to see, like you said, make that connection. That is so valuable for a child to be able to read something and then make a real life connection. That means that they've really learned it, you know, when you can do that.
And he just wants his friend to come out and meet him at the park like he used to do, you know, near our house and play football. And so, you know, he is aware of this now because his friend isn't wanting to come out as much, which is
understandable. It's starting to really affect them. Yeah. It's really easy to see it when, you know, the water's boiling when you're not in the boiling water. So he's able to see from afar what's happening because you have educated him and he has, to be quite frank, he has some really good images in his head right now of what this looks like.
Right.
Because of the images that are in the book, the graphics are really as, if not more important, even than the text in the book. I mean, for all of us, we remember an image more than we remember what we read because we can pull that image and see it again. And I think that's one of the biggest things that we have heard over and over from the feedback that we've gotten, that the images really bring it to life. And I'm sure that you've seen the same thing with your kids.
Yes. Well, and also even my little one who came home from the video game truck and wanted video games again, he actually just came home yesterday and told me that he was worried because lots of kids in his class are starting to get smartphones and they were showing other kids videos and memes after school. And he started worrying about them getting addicted to their screens because he knows, you know, the younger you start, the more likely you are to have problems later.
Yeah.
And he wanted me to go talk to the principal about it. He didn't want anyone to know that it was from him. But, so he didn't want me to go, you know, just talk in front of his friends. But he said, you need to go tell the principal. Okay. Well,
you know, you give him a little education and look what happens, you know?
Exactly. So they are making these connections, which is fantastic. Yeah, I was going to say, if you're thinking about becoming screen strong, but you're worried about your kids one day leaving you and going crazy on screens in college, I know you bring up that myth a lot. The Kids Brains and Screens course is the answer, because it's going to give your kids hope, the why that they need to carry on down that path. Maybe they won't see it now, but if they have that knowledge, they will eventually see it and understand. So.
Yeah. And the reason why you got to get this book is because they're going to read it now. Like your young, what is your youngest in, what grade did you say
he was in fourth grade.
Okay. So your youngest in fourth grade is reading it now. And then I imagine that you will probably refer back to it again and even review some of it next year, because every year for a child, there's so much growth in their brain and so much development that things that he's learning now from the book will be, you know, different than the things that he's going to pick up next year from the book, because he's going to grow and he's going to be applying and connecting things on a whole different level. So that's why I feel like, you know, the paper book is so important just to have as part of the library in your house. So you can, when things come up, I mean, you can, you know, pull out a chapter and say, oh, you know, that's in the KBS book. Let's go take a look at what that says. And that it's like the gift that will just keep on giving.
Yeah. I mean, once my kids got in, you know, they complained when I first proposed it to them. And I'm going to give you some tips if you're worried about your kids being resistant at the end. But once they got into the content, they were a lot more receptive to it. And certain parts of the book really prompted some great conversations. My oldest really enjoyed the page on cheating in school. The illustrations are great. And then he started telling me all kinds of stories about different ways he's seen classmates cheat in his sixth grade classroom last year.
Yes.
So I thought, okay, well, you've connected to this part, definitely. So.
Well, oh my gosh. And isn't it great though that you had a template to start talking about cheating? Because I mean, when else, like the dinner table, do we ever just talk about cheating? Like it just doesn't usually come up in our everyday unless somebody got caught cheating and they're talking about it. But
right. And so many things kids do now, they don't even think of necessarily as cheating, you know, the way we would have thought of them as cheating. So it's good even just, talking about that.
Yeah.
And it also helps that the content's not just coming from me, their mom, telling them about it, but there's scientists, doctors, therapists, researchers, there's quotes from experts throughout the course. So that's great.
Yeah, we have all the quotes in there. I love that point. I want to just make sure everybody heard that. I think this is one of the best selling points for the book that, you know, the book and Screen Strong can kind of be the heavy, right? And you don't have to be, because, you know, they may look at you and think, what do you know? You're just my mom. And I remember it took Adam 26 years and the younger boys in our house right now, I mean, they're in college right now, but they're nowhere near thinking this yet exactly. But I remember when Adam was 26, he all of a sudden figured out, hey mom, he told me right after his birthday that I'll just never forget that. Hey mom, you know, you're getting pretty smart, you know, but it took him 26 years to figure that out. So it's really hard as parents, because we're trying to educate our kids. And a lot of times we do it with emotion and we're frustrated and it's usually in the heat of the moment and, you know, put down that video game. Don't you understand about the dopamine? And, you know, we don't have our tone right. And so the book actually is just a fabulous tool to say, oh, let's see what the book says. And then, like you said, there's a bunch of doctors in there and it can be just that third party in a way. I think that really helps.
It helps a lot. And then when your kids develop interests outside of screens, and then they have this knowledge about brain development and they understand the influence of excess dopamine on addictions, when they know the research behind healthy brain development, then hopefully this will stick with them and help them make good decisions further down the road. That's the idea.
Yeah. And like I said, it's never one and done. It is a revisit. Yes. And that's why this book really spans the age bracket, because I know even some 8 and 9 year olds that are reading it. And then it will go all the way through to some of the teachers I've talked to that are high school teachers that are actually planning to use this in their classroom. So it can be visited again and again. It's not like, oh, I read that, now I don't need to read it again. And as parents, you need to read it too. Like, you know, if I had had this with my, you know, with Adam, with my oldest, and even with the younger boys, it would have been incredible for me to learn this stuff myself. Because sometimes the easiest way to learn something is by reading a middle school book about it. Seriously.
Yeah. Oh, I was going to say the course has been great for me too, because it's given me the language to talk with my kids. And when they do tell me stories, we can make connections back to it. And then you now have the neuroscience foundation, which applies to so many things in life. Really helpful to have that. So
yeah, it's just really powerful for them and for you to have that knowledge. But I love how you've been able to incorporate this in your life. So talk a minute about, so what did you do when you first got it? How did you go through it with them? So we have people listening and they're like, okay, I'm going to go get this. And I'm going to tell you right now, I just have to tell you again, this is so worth the money, because it is cheaper than one visit to a counselor. And I'm just going to keep saying that over and over. This, in fact, I know so many counselors that are buying this now for their offices, because they say, okay, I'm going to have all my patients read this before they come to me, because we have to have vocab around this. I have to be able to talk to them about what's happening in their brains. And most therapists tell me they spend so much of their time just trying to educate their patients before they can even help them. So this is just so great. But what I want you to tell parents, what do you do? You get it, you get it mailed to your house, you open it up. How did you incorporate it? Like, did you tell them ahead of time, hey, we're going to go through this? Did you do it once a week? How did you do it? How did you lay it out with them?
Okay, well, if your kids are resistant to screen conversations or sensitive whenever the topic of, you know, boundaries and screens comes up, there are some unconventional ways maybe you can get their buy-in. And so I have 4 ideas that might help you.
Oh, good.
First, this is what I did. You tell your kids you're testing out the course for Screen Strong and you need their feedback. So, yes.
And we do, by the way, we need your feedback. So that is a true statement.
Please.
Yes. So we need all the feedback.
You can talk to them about how companies conduct market research, and you've been asked to do that, and that Screen Strong wants to hear from them. And by doing this, you're showing your kids that their thoughts and opinions matter. You don't have to agree with their thoughts and opinions, but you can believe their feelings and experiences around this. That's important.
Yeah.
And your kids may even get excited initially about the opportunity of telling you why they don't like your boundaries, but that's okay, because the learning will still happen. And once they get started reading it, they'll see it's not just about screens. It helps with so many other areas in their life. My oldest, you know, forgot his resistance when we started talking about the content and how it could apply to so many things, like forming good habits or making friends or developing empathy or getting in better shape. And he loved the Screen Strong stories of the kids who've had struggles, because those started some great conversations as well. So you can do that. The second thing you can do, you can tell them you want to share it with another family. Maybe you know another family you want to share it with, but you're not sure that you think it might be too hard for their kids to understand. So you can tell your kids, well, can I see if you understand this to see if, you know, it will work for these other kids? So then it doesn't feel like you're pushing it on them,
right?
But you're telling them you want to share it with another family you think it would benefit, and you want to see if they understand. So they might be willing to get started going through it. You can talk about the neuroscience and say, you know, is that too hard for you?
Right.
And they'll want to prove that, no, it's not too hard, I can get it. And so then you're off, and then they'll probably get into it and want to keep reading. So that's another approach you can take.
I like the way you're thinking. Okay.
And then if you have very resistant kids, maybe you're in the trenches, you're in the middle of the detox, they don't want to hear anything to do with it, you can offer an incentive. And normally I wouldn't suggest this because you want your kids to develop intrinsic motivation and that might undermine it, but the content is so important for them to have that maybe you talk about how sometimes market researchers create focus groups and they pay them a little bit of money to actually go through and, you know, evaluate the products. So you can possibly offer them, you know, $5 a lesson if they get through it, or maybe there's, you know, they want to try going to an escape room or a climbing wall or an amusement park. Maybe you talk about that could be like the family fun you have. The last lesson talks about, you know, adventure awaits and having fun with your family. That can maybe be the goal. If we go through this course, maybe we all do that. Maybe you get to bring a friend with you and we'll have some fun, you know, off our screens.
Right. I remember one mom in our group did that when her child went through the whole thing. Their incentive was to go to the sporting goods store, and he got to pick out, she had an amount on it, you know, and he got to go pick out something from the sporting goods store to start doing a sport.
New activity. Yes. Yeah. That's a great idea.
Take them to the art, you know, store. If it's a girl, she can go get new markers, you know, you could come up with something fun. Your incentive should always be something that you value, and maybe it's a camp out in the backyard with dad, you know, or whatever. You can come up with all those things, but I think incentive is not bad. I don't think that's a bad idea. You know, however you got, however you can.
I was going to say, because they're going to get the learning no matter what. And it will, I think in the long run, they're going to appreciate the learning that they've had from the course. And then in going through it with them to get them engaged, getting them talking about their experiences and sharing their stories. You know, like my son had a lot to say about the illustration on cheating in class. And so show how it applies to other areas of their life with regard to exercise and eating and procrastination and all these other things that it's in there, you know, mental health. And they'll start to see when they're in middle school, kids struggling with this. So.
Right. And let me just say to your point right there, there is so much in here. Besides the screen stuff, there's so much stuff just about health in general that they're going to pick up, like all the sleep, you know, information. I mean, there's just so many things because it's all tied together. And that's a really good point. They are learning a whole lot more that is just practical knowledge that will carry with them the rest of their life. I mean, I wish I had known all that stuff about sleep when I was in high school. I might still have stayed up, but I think the knowledge to think, oh yeah, maybe I should go to bed, you know, because there's all these medical kind of physical reasons why you need sleep. You know, we can't just fuss at our kids all the time to do things and not explain. And I don't think we have to explain things all the time, but for basic health stuff, I think it's super important to explain it to them.
And I think you're more likely to have buy-in from them if they understand the why behind it. You're not just dictating, oh, you're going to go to bed at 8 because I said so, but they're understanding what their brain needs to rest and recover. And all these things happen when you sleep.
Yeah.
Long-term memories go into storage. All of that is in the course. So it's fascinating. Yeah.
It's all kind of tied together. And the summary of that point is that the why does drive the will. So when you understand the why, it is so much easier to do the thing that, you know, and then it doesn't have to become a big argument. And that's what you're trying to do is reduce that conflict in your home. And this is just giving you that practical knowledge written in a way that they can understand. And that is actually quite entertaining. Tell us just a couple tips for going through the content with, like, I love the way that you mentioned a highly sensitive kid. Resistant.
Right. Resistant. And they get sensitive whenever the topic of screens comes up. So tips for going through is to get them talking about their own experiences and sharing their stories. You know, a lot of the illustrations will spark conversations. my son had a lot to say about the examples of cheating in class. And mm-hmm. I learned all kinds of things about what was going on in sixth grade.
Yeah, and then, they also want to share their opinions too. They want to be valued, you know?
They do. Mm-hmm.
That's really important. In fact, that's even in the book, to talk about how to value someone is to listen to them. And so that's good that you're listening to him while he's going through it.
Right. And then, you know, apply the content to other areas of their lives. That's the other tip. It's not just about screens. It's about developing good habits with regard to exercise or eating well and why, or not procrastinating, and about developing good habits. Because when you keep repeating a behavior over and over, it becomes a habit. So they even get a bit of understanding about habit formation. And you know, mm-hmm. if you develop bad habits and you're repeating it over and over again, then your brain will automatically, with a certain cue, want to do that habit. So it's just
true.
Great knowledge for everything.
Yeah, it's hard to, as you know, I mean, obviously I'm the founder of Screen Strong and everybody expects me to talk about this, but it's hard to explain how there are so many multiple layers of lessons in this book for many things in your life. You know, like you just said, like the habit information applies to everything. So now you have the words, you know what a trigger is, you know how to explain the loop, you know, the habit loop, the craving, like that applies to anything, not just screens. So I think it kind of goes a long way.
And this may be off topic, but yesterday I was listening to a podcast with Dr. Becky, and she was on the Huberman Lab podcast. He's a neuroscientist. And they got into a conversation about these loops. And they were saying, you know, when kids are playing video games when they're young, they get that high dopamine spike with very little effort. And, you know, she was talking about how they just, their brain develops this loop and they get used to having high dopamine for very low effort. So then when they start school and have to learn how to read or something hard, they can't cope with it because, you know, it's frustrating and it's hard and they're used to having high dopamine immediately.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, and I just think, well, then why not use the Screen Strong approach and don't introduce the video games? Because she was saying you need to introduce more frustration into their lives because they need, like, between not knowing something, and then there's a learning space, she says, and then finally, you know, mastering something, that learning space is frustrating and should be. And in today's world with all this stimulation, we almost get instant gratification and we don't have enough experiences of that space that's frustrating.
Right.
So we need to provide that for our kids. And one way to provide it is, you know, not giving them these, you know, games that give them instant gratification. Actually make them practice piano or practice shooting goals for soccer. And it takes a while to actually master something that will help them in every aspect of their lives.
But the low effort, high reward is so great to understand that concept, because it's not that all games are bad. It's not that phones are bad. It's not that all that is all bad. But right now, during this sensitive stage of development and where their brain is being actually formed like cement, right, for the rest of their life, you want them to be able to work through that frustration tolerance. And the book Grit with Angela Duckworth is one of my favorites. And I read that book right in the middle of middle school with the twins, and what a perfect book to read if you have middle school kids, because it does the same thing. And she says, every child needs to have a stretch activity. And that is something that they're not good at, something that's hard for them, something they have to really work for. And that's why we ended up with music. We ended up with violin and piano, because those things are hard to do. And I'm not sure what I would have done if I wasn't reading that book where she was pounding that. She said, this is the best way to build your kid's brain, you know? And I'm like, yeah, what can it hurt, right? They're not going to play video games, so they may as well play the piano. And it was hard for them. And I think a lot of parents today, Becky, I think they think, well, if it's hard and my kid doesn't want to do it, I'm not going to make them do it, right? I'm not going to make them. And well, guess what your kid wants to do is, you know, stay home and play video games instead. And this is what happened with Adam. And I know that trick, and I'm not doing it again because he didn't want to do all that stuff either because he had video games. If they don't have video games, then all of a sudden those things become way more fun because it's a challenge and you're getting dopamine when you learn the song. But a kid who's just gaming all the time, they don't really get any dopamine when they learn the song because they got so much more flood of dopamine on their video game.
And then so, they get that real confidence that you right. get when you, you know, master a skill and you've worked hard to do it. It's, you know, a true sense of competence that you won't, can't be taken away. And the course gets into all that as well. You know, the need for feeling competent and developing confidence and having a community. It's great.
Whole chapter on that because it's super important for them to understand the reason behind this. And I'm glad you brought that up because there's so many things in the book and I want everybody to know that this is not a Debbie Downer book, right? It is positive. It is so positive. There's so many positive things that I think that's why kids are loving it so much is because we're not making them feel bad. We're not bringing it down and making everything doom and gloom. It's all very positive. I think what they're learning about their brain development, about their social development and how to make friends, you know, all the lessons are geared, just so you know, mom and dad, if you haven't looked at it yet, it's all very positive. They're not going to get depressed reading this thing. Like it's going to be.
No, not at all.
They may think, wait a minute, I really wanted all my screens. Well, I'll tell you, the younger they are when they go through this, the better off everyone is going to be. For them to learn before they get hooked.
Yeah, my youngest now, you know, the one when he couldn't play by himself, he'll just go disappear into his room reading books. He just went through the entire Harry Potter series in 2 months. And, even read the play script, The Cursed Child, that I haven't even read. He wanted that one. And so, I mean, it's amazing because we use books as a substitute for screens when we first took them away and we started taking books everywhere with us. And so, I mean, the growth has been incredible for him and his interest in science. And he wants to study robotics. And, you know, that's all he talks about, which I'm very happy to have him fixated on robotics instead of Minecraft.
Right. Oh, that's so good. That's such great news. And that's so fun to hear. And for everybody listening again, your child will have the rest of their life to play video games and to be on phones and to be on social media, which, by the way, you know, social media was never designed for children or for teenagers. Or for young adults, I will add. So they'll have the rest of their life to do that. We're talking about these formative years where data and the research is so clear, even with all this new dopamine science that's coming in, everything is getting so crystal clear about how important these years are. And back in the day when we were all growing up, our parents did it right and they didn't even know they were doing it right because they just you let us outside when we were 6 years old on our bike, riding all around the neighborhood and finding things and building forts and being outside. And those are all the things that we needed to be doing. And that's why we can use screens today. Well, because our brain actually developed differently. And so that's what we're talking about with Screen Strong. So Becky, let's wrap up with the final lesson, or not the final lesson, but lesson seven in this course, because, you know, we should probably actually seriously have another show to unpack lesson seven more. But go ahead and talk about it briefly now as you were, you know, as you're a parent going through the course with your two young boys. What happened when you came to lesson seven and explain to the audience what that is?
Yes, I really wanted to talk about lesson seven because it was a lifesaver lesson for me. And I think the whole course is worth it just for this lesson. Because you'll be so glad you had it. Like many of you, I've read my kids the picture book, Good Pictures, Bad Pictures. And we've discussed the book and kind of introduced the subject of porn, knowing that the age has gotten so young when kids are exposed. But that book is limited because it kind of talks about looking away and finding a trusted adult, which is appropriate for elementary school. But when you get into middle school, you have to talk about so much more. And I knew I needed to have the conversation with my son, but I didn't really know how to do it. And, you know, it's a hard topic to discuss.
Yeah.
So lesson seven goes into this topic for you. And it just is such a great thing to have in front of you to talk to your middle schooler about this issue.
Oh, okay. Oh, good. It's awkward for sure. But I think we kind of hit this one out of the park. I'll just say, I mean,
we sat down side by side on the sofa, and this lesson made it so easy because it was all laid out there. And what I wanted to say, I mean, every single day, if you're in any of the parenting and tech groups, some parent gets on and says, oh my gosh, I'm devastated. I just found out my child's been looking at porn, and mm-hmm. sometimes it's been going on for years and they had no idea. Mm. And this is a huge issue in middle school. And we just had an experience with this a few weeks ago. My older son is in Scouts and his troop had a Discord. And part of the youth protection training, they have to have at least two adults in there with all the Scouts. So they have adults in there. I was not happy. I, you know, complained that that was how they were planning events. But they said, well, everyone's already on it. And so I said, well, I'll have my son check through my own Discord account once in a while, but he won't have it on his own. He doesn't have a smartphone. And the senior patrol leader kind of said, oh, well, my mom works for Google. We'll lock it down really well. There'll be no issues. And so then, you know, after several months, they're not in there very much because they know the adults are in there. But one of the Scouts, I think, got hacked, and all of a sudden, every single discussion thread was flooded with all these porn sites.
Oh.
And the images popped up. And, you know, of course, the adults, as soon as they saw that, reported it, blocked it, locked it down. The senior patrol leader warned everyone.
Yeah.
But you know the adults are busy at work and with their lives. And you know that some of the Scouts have the phones right in their pocket. So they're going to see the images before they get taken down.
Yeah.
And my son did not see them because I see everything before I hand it to him. And he only has it every couple of days. And so he avoided that whole issue completely.
Mm-hmm.
But because of the course, we know that, you know, at that age, if they see an image, even though they shouldn't look at it and they don't want to, they're curious because they hear people talking about it all the time. So, you know, someone clicked on it. And this lesson is so good at pointing out how those images stay with you. And then you think about it even after that experience and you want to look again. And this lesson seven shows, just they call it the, you know, it's referred to in lesson seven as the porn trap and how easy it is to get caught. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times it's accidental exposure just like that. And then if those kids have more free time, they're going to search for more.
Yeah.
And so it takes the shame out of it and shows just how easy it is to get caught. And I expect at some point parents going through this course with their kids may even, it may even be the opening they need to tell their parents, I'm struggling with this.
Yeah.
Because the way it's presented, it takes the shame out of it. It says, you know, this issue needs to come out into the light. You'll need help with it. And this is what your brain does. It's again, that addiction reward pathway. You get on it and it's hard to get off. And so this lesson has all the steps for getting off if you've been struggling with the issue.
Mm-hmm.
It talks about how easy it is to get caught, and it has just great ways to avoid it, you know, in your life as a middle schooler. So it's such a valuable lesson that
And we've really taken a very evidence-based scientific approach, and so that takes all the awkward emotion stuff out, and that's what makes it easy. So if for any reason other than just this lesson seven, I mean, I agree with you. I think that this lesson alone, even if your kids know everything else and they don't need this book, this lesson is really good. Plus, it's a good lesson to go over like every, you know, 6 to 12 months, because what your kids are going to assimilate even with this lesson seven when they're in, you know, fifth grade is a little different than what's going to hit them another year later down the road. And the one thing I love personally, so many things about that lesson that came together really well, but one of the things I think that's really going to help a lot of people is the tracker form. And I know it sounds kind of weird if you haven't read the book yet, but there is a form where, because we want to keep things super positive and we want to say, look, let's check every day that goes by that we don't see inappropriate image. And I think it's fun for kids to track their progress instead of always being negative, like, ooh, what did you see today? Oh no, you should, you know, like you said, making them feel shame. We want to turn it and just say, hey, let's be positive. And if we mess up and if they see something on Discord, then they'll tell you, and then we'll start over and we'll see how long a streak we can get, how many days without porn. I think these are the types of proactive things that are just interlaced in this whole book, just helping kids take that proactive prevention approach.
Oh, and the other good thing in this part is there's the story where the middle schooler comes home and tells his mom that, you know, his teacher told him, if, you know, if we see a, you know, pornographic image, we should immediately tell someone. And then the mom asks, well, do you think you would do that if you came across something? And the child said, well, no, I probably wouldn't. I would probably, you know, look, I'm curious. And, you know, he was so honest. And I think this in at this age group, you know, they have to go beyond the good kids, bad kids, and they have to have other strategies, because, you know, even at that age, I probably would have clicked on it just going, what is all this about? What is that? What does that mean? Because a lot of times I didn't understand what words meant because my parents hadn't talked to me about them necessarily. So I just wanted to find out, what does this mean? And then, of course, they're not given, you know, a healthy idea.
Well, thank you so much for sharing about that lesson. And we will, we have everybody on their, you know, guard here trying to figure out what it's all about. So now you got to get it to figure out what lesson seven is all about, because it's very interesting. It's a very creative
There's a cute analogy, a great way to talk to your middle schooler about it. And you can use that as kind of a code, and it's very appropriate for middle school as well.
Right. So. Thank you so much for sharing that, and just for sharing all the things. And just again, for people listening, did you go through this book like one lesson a day, or that it's probably too much? It's in sections. So every lesson has three sections. So did you, what was your goal and how did you get through it with them briefly before we end here? I want to hear that.
I did one section a day, not one entire lesson. It was a lot. And actually for my younger son, I probably broke up even some of the sections. We kind of went through it separately. I didn't do lesson seven with my younger son yet. Although now that he's told me kids have smartphones, I may have to.
You probably should.
You know, I probably should. I know. Yeah. But we did. Yeah, we just did one section a day. And then we had all the conversations as well. And with my younger one, it was even less than that sometimes. But, you know, he was really interested in the brain science because he likes science. So
Even if you can get through one lesson a week, there's three sections in every lesson. And if you can just take, you know, 1 week to go through each thing, or depending on how old your kids are. And then would you recommend that you do it like as a family all together with different ages? Or do you think it's better to go through it separately with different ages?
I think it depends on the ages of your kids. Okay. If they're, you know, if there's a big distance between them, I might do it separately because the older one might move through a lot quicker and grasp the concepts a lot quicker. But I mean, it can be done as a family, and they can get it on different levels. If you have a big family and you don't have time, then you know, you can definitely just break it apart for the smaller ones a little bit more. And
I think it's a great thing for mom and dad to tandem and trade off and have dad do it one night, mom do it the next.
Maybe mom do it with one child one day and dad do it with the other, and then flip. Swap. We used to do that with reading stories because my kids were reading at different levels. So you can work together and do it that way as well.
And you can do it at dinner, like have it be after dinner. This is what you do for 30 minutes, you know, or it could be before they go to bed when each parent is taking turns with each kid, just going through one lesson. It makes a pretty good read right before bed because most of the sections are pretty short. You know, they're not super long. I think a few are a little bit longer. But I want to just end with going over what the KBS includes. It is a 300-page full-color paperback book, but it's 300 pages. It is full-color. There are 8 lessons with 3 sections each that we just talked about. Each lesson has worksheets to go with it and a little quiz. That's all included in the book, as well as the 24 lesson plans. So if you're a teacher or a homeschool mom, the lesson plans are available on the site. And the site for all the support material is ScreenStrongSolutions.com. That is a little different from our ScreenStrong.org site, but the ScreenStrongSolutions.com is where all this educational material is. And so the lesson plans are there. We have actually gone through and made this easy for you to give you all the breakdown of activities and things that you can do. We even have activity handouts included with the lesson plans. The 7-day challenge is included in the back of the book. And this is when your class does this in a school setting, or you could even do it in a neighborhood setting or however you want, where you take 7 days, just no video games, no smartphones, no social media. And then you write a little essay about, you know, what that looked like and how fun that was. And then the Friday fun night instructions that Becky mentioned are also in the book. And these are very detailed instructions about how to have a gathering at your house with kids. We call this Friday fun night, and we have all the games, we have all the instructions. And that again is on the ScreenStrongSolutions.com site. And then Becky helped us, drum roll please, with the Escape from Screen Jail bonus challenge. And this is such a fabulous piece to end at the end of the book, where after your kids go through all the lessons, they can actually do this escape challenge. And it's really fun. Becky, thank you so much for all your input on that. It's a winner.
You're welcome. Yes.
And if you could just leave us now just with a word of encouragement for a family who's listening and they're like, oh, I don't know. I don't know if I can get this. I don't know if I can do this. Can you just give us some encouraging words for people who are listening?
Yes, I just want to say, even if your kids are resistant right now, it won't be forever. And soon it will be less and less time that they are actively, you know, trying to get their screens back. Mm-hmm. And I know sometimes in the group, people worry about, well, what if my kids go to public school? And then there's a lot of other people that say, oh, well, you can homeschool or private school. And I know that's not an option for everyone, and I just want to let you know my two kids go to local public school and they're thriving. So it is possible. You don't have to, if you're not able to, you know, pull them out of school. Or, mm-hmm. I mean, I think the best approach is to spread this message and get more of your community on board, and that just makes it easier for all of us.
And you can start just really with having a small group and actually going through the KBS, you know, book with the small group. And then you kind of get your core group of friends built. And that's what we did with our boys when they were in third grade. We had a book club, and we read all the books that I talk about, and they had friends to play with, and it worked beautifully. And this book would be a perfect book club book for even moms, I think, and dads, like for parents to go through this, right? And learn it and then have it and then go home and go through it with your kids. And then, you know, hey, these are the five families that at least we're all in the same boat. We all are using the same language and the same words around it. I think that'd really be helpful. Thank you so much for coming on and sharing with us your story and all these tips. Becky, thank you so much. And I think it would be fabulous if we could have you put together a little blog with these tips to put on our site. So how about that?
Okay, I got a job out of it. Okay,
that's right.
I'm always happy to talk about this with people. I'd love to get more and more people on board because it just makes it easier for all of us.
Thank you. Thank you so much for coming. You're welcome. Thank everyone for listening today. I hope this episode has encouraged you, and not discouraged you, but encouraged you to get this education for your kids and to start now when they're pretty young. So you're going to be ready and you're not going to be caught in the screen trap that we talk about a lot in the book. So we'd love to see you over on the Screen Strong Connect Plus. That's where we have our subscription group over at screenstrong.org. And this is where we have lots of content and videos and all sorts of things over there. But you can get into the forum and talk to other parents about this. And again, this student course is out in print now on Amazon. So be sure and go check that out and put that in your cart and contact your school. You can send the administrator to ScreenStrongSolutions.com, and they can see the scope and sequence of the curriculum. They can see all the things over there. And if you'd like more information on becoming a Screen Strong ambassador, and that's just a person who gets trained a little bit more with a slide deck and a couple other things to go out in your community and start these small groups, we're here just for you to do that. Don't forget to subscribe to this podcast and share this particular episode with some of your friends, because I think that this book will really help save some lives. And I am so thrilled that it's finally out. Remember, we've got your back, and we are here to help you have everything you need to remove the screen conflicts from your home. So until next time, stand up for your kids and start by getting the new KBS course. Stand out from the crowd and stay strong.